Amen, amen. Just remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Great resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians. Amen. I'm glad, as we said already, our Savior is alive. He lives. Amen. Amen. That song talks there too about babies. Thank God for babies. Amen. Amen. I do. Thank God for babies. Amen. And sort of a sad day in which we live. That would you believe that we'd come to a day when we've got a socialist running for governor of the state of Kentucky? And a socialist running for state secretary of state in the state of Kentucky? And when Joshua sent out all the questionnaires to get them to agree to come in and tell what they believe, they were some of the first to do so. Jumped at it. Jumped at the opportunity to tell what they believe. And they're not afraid to say, they're both of them, not afraid to say that they're for killing babies. They don't want to call it a baby. That's sort of offensive, calling somebody a baby killer. Yeah.
Right.
But if you're killing babies, what do you call it?
Right.
Well, you say it's a fetus killer. Well, they wouldn't even like you to say it's a killer because they say it's not alive. And they talk about that deal about it being dependent upon its mother. Joshua made the statement, the reference there, that that baby's dependent on its mother for a good while after it's born.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And I told the men in the prayer room, I guess according to him, if you got somebody on your taxes you claim as a dependent, you can kill them. I guess that's the way he would look at it. But it's sad. I'm just telling you, it's sad. And matter of fact, it's foolish. Another thing, he kept talking about opening up the voter rolls. I mean, he's for dead people voting. He's for felons voting. Amen. Just keep all this opening up. More people voting. Well, how about letting the babies live so they'll get a chance one of these days to vote? Amen. And just a lot of things. Be honest with you, it gets under my skin. It gets under my skin. It's not political. But killing babies is not a political thing. Killing babies is a moral issue. And that's just one of them. I mean, there's a lot of others that we could deal with. But that's a moral issue that we've come to a day when people are not ashamed to stand up and say that they are immoral. They're just not ashamed to say it. And then claim that for the moral side. They call evil good and good evil. That's the day that we've come to. And yes, sir, that's exactly right. God help us in this day. Amen. And thinking about the babies, we were over at Pleasant View this week, Thursday and Friday. They had their Jubilee meeting and ending up today. Had some good preaching, a lot of good preachers there and good preaching. Brother Massengale talking about the children, he said they counted there sometime back and they've got somewhere around 70 under 7 years old. That's a pretty good pile of kids.
Amen.
Amen. And I thank God for everyone we got, but I'm glad right now we don't have 70 with just a... Unless we multiply adults too, amen, amen. But anyway, amen. That is a blessing, isn't it? That is a blessing to have the children in the house of God, amen, and amen. All right. Well, I better get off of that. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. As I said, this great chapter. The entire chapter is an excellent discourse from the Apostle Paul on the absolute fact of the resurrection. He's going to talk about the resurrected body that we'll have. He goes on, that's the latter part of the chapter. The chapter split just about in half. The latter half deals with the body that we'll have, being a different kind of body. But the first half, he's dealing with the fact that some people say they don't believe that we are going to resurrect. He said, well, if you don't believe in a resurrection, then you don't believe the gospel. That's really how he lays it down. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, though it would be good to do so. I'm just going to read the first four verses and try to preach from these verse by verse and just give you a thought that's on our heart. Lord willing, I'll not be real long this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I'm going to stop reading there. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Father, we're
Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. That's right.
Let your holy name for what you've done. I pray you'll stir the hearts of your children this morning and give us the grace and help that we need in this hour. And pray to strengthen our hearts, save sinners. May glory and honor be worth your wonderful name. And thank you in Christ's name for it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, I didn't read the text from the Gospels about the resurrection, and this is probably one of the few times on Easter Sunday morning that I've not done that. Usually that's where I do take my text. I do remember one year, several years ago at Vision, again, I was just a young man, and I didn't preach on the resurrection on that Easter Sunday morning, and one lady got offended. Told her husband she didn't think they ought to come back because I didn't say enough about Easter. So the next year, I made sure to say something about Easter, and she got offended because I said too much. That's the truth. I said too much because I got to dealing with them bunny rabbits and the Easter eggs and all that kind of stuff, and the stuff that's out of the Bible. Amen. But we're in that day. Amen. Matter of fact, Resurrection Sunday's been overshadowed with this thing of the spring equinox, the coming in, the welcoming in of spring, the flowers blooming. Thank God for flowers that bloom this time of year. Amen. I thank God that spring does come. And by the way, it does show we've been in a stage similar to death through the winter months, and spring has life springing back again. And yet it seems as if Resurrection Day has been overshadowed in many places by that situation that's called Easter. Easter was a holiday before Jesus ever got up from the grave. It's a day they celebrated as Easter. And it's from the goddess Ishtar. And I'm not going to run that, but you can look it up. It's easy to find. And it was a fertility goddess, by the way. Dealt with sexual fertility and some of those sensual sins that went along with it, that go along in that. By the way, that's why they pick an egg, and that's why they pick a bunny rabbit, because they're very fertile. Amen. I was thinking about it. It's cool. I'm glad it's supposed to warm up today, but as cool as it's been the last few days, you wouldn't have had to boil them eggs to hide them. You set them out, they'd have been froze. They'd have been hard frozen eggs. Amen. And not hard boiled eggs. But it's interesting. We had two different people through the last few weeks, I think a week ago yesterday and then yesterday, we've had different people come and knock on our door to invite us to a celebration. And one of them was the JWs, and they was having a big celebration today with Easter eggs. They didn't say a thing about the resurrection. Not one thing. They didn't say a thing about resurrection. Easter eggs. We had a couple yesterday, a man, an older man and a young girl, and they were handing out flyers. Another church across town, I'm not going to call it, but it's a big church, and they said this was their thing. He said, "I want to invite you to come and be with us tomorrow." He said, "We're going to have over 4,000 eggs." What's that got to do? I mean, that's a big breakfast. What's that got to do with Easter? What's that got to do? Well, it's got to do with Easter. What's it got to do with the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? But it's been displaced. Chocolate bunnies, amen. Colorful baskets, all these different things that comes in on it, and it takes away, I'm afraid, from the Lord. But Paul, in this text that I'm reading to you, though it's not the text of the resurrection in the Gospels, Paul refers to it as a doctrine that is still to be preached in the church. As a matter of fact, it's still to be preached to sinners, and it's still to be preached to saints, and he says it right here in our text very carefully. So let me just look at these verse by verse, and I don't have points and all that until I get to my close, and I'll give you 3 points. In my conclusion, just 3 thoughts about this gospel. But I want to preach this morning on this thought, why we believe and preach the resurrection. Why we believe and preach the resurrection. Amen. The whole idea of this day is that Jesus Christ got up from the grave, and He is the first fruits, the Bible says, of them that sleep. Amen. Him getting up means there's going to be others getting up one day, thank God. And that gives us hope, amen. And we can comfort one another with these words when we think about that blessed hope that Jesus is coming and bringing them out of the grave, those that are in the grave even now, amen. Now look at this, verse number one, first of all. And as I said, we'll just look at it verse by verse, break this first one down by the words. He says, moreover, brethren, the word moreover, lets us know that he's moving on from what he's already been dealing with. He's been dealing with several things in the church, divisions. He's got into the gifts, the diverse gifts that are there. And that's what he's dealt with most recently in chapters 12, 13, and 14. He deals with those gifts, but it's time to move on from that. And so he says, I'm moving on from what I've already said, but I'm going to point you back to something. Moreover, brethren. Now the word brethren indicates that this is not written to sinners. It's to saints. It's to those that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not unbelievers. Amen. But those believing brothers and sisters in the faith. And notice what he preaches to believers. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Amen. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. He preached the gospel everywhere he went. Amen. Even if he had preached it there before, he'd preach the gospel again. Amen. And so I say, you might ask the question, but preacher, that isn't the gospel what needs to be declared to sinners? Sure it is. But we also need to declare it to the saints. That's what he's saying. The saints need the gospel. Amen. Declared unto them again and again. Amen. This gospel, it is this gospel that gives us hope. Amen. Amen. It is this gospel that gives us our assurance. Our assurance does not lie in what we did. It relies in what He did. Amen. You remember when God made a covenant with Abraham and the cloud came over and the sun was hid and Abraham got very sleepy because God walked that covenant by himself. He didn't need Abraham to walk it for him. He didn't even need Abraham to walk it with him. God walked that covenant himself. Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we need to remember it's what He did that made the difference. Amen. Amen. And so we need to hear the gospel again and again. It is upon this gospel on which we stand. We dare not trust in feelings. Amen. We dare not trust in an emotional experience or a religious decision. Our hope must stand upon the gospel. Amen. It'll have to stand upon the gospel. But the Apostle Paul says that he is led to declare the gospel to these believers again. Look at it again, verse number 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you. Amen. I declare. He says, I want you to be aware of it. They'd heard it. He said, I want to bring your mind back to it again. He is to repeat the message. That's what God said. He is directed by the Holy Spirit to preach it again. He's directed by the Holy Spirit to write it again. Amen. Now, I put this note here because I noticed one of the commentators I read referenced that this could have been translated that I remind you. And so I looked at it and the modern translations do not say I declare unto you, but they say I remind you. The New International Version, the New Living Translation, and the English Standard Version all use that phrase, I remind you. But the Greek word, there's one word translated this phrase, I declare unto you. The Greek word there is Strong's number 1107. It means to make known, subjectively to know. That word is found 24 times in the King James Bible. It's translated certify, declare, make known, give to understand, do to wit, and wot. That word wot means to know. I wot not, that I know not. That's the phrase. It's an old, and by the way, it goes back to wit. Wot and wit are tied together to bring to wit. We use the word witness, means you know something.
Right.
Amen. And so there's where it comes in that. People used to talk about, well, he's witty. It means he knows a lot. He's a knowing person. That was the idea that would have been implied there. But here's what I'm interested in. That word is never translated in your King James Bible, remind. Never. It's always translated in your King James Bible to declare, to know. Amen. But now Paul does talk about remembering. He uses that very word. Let's read on what he said. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory. You see that? So we'd call that remembering. But he'll use that idea. But his focal point is not to bring back to memory, but to get them to focus, to put that in the forefront of their mind. Amen. Let this be in the forefront. Bring this doctrine to the attention of the believer. Of all the doctrines of the Bible, the most necessary doctrine of the gospel is that Jesus not only died, because if he'd have died and that was the end of it, he'd have been no better than any other man. The fact that he was buried, he'd have been no better than any other man. But the fact that he got up from the grave, amen, proves that God saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. Amen. Amen. If he had not risen from the dead, he would have not been who he said he was. If he had not risen from the dead, he would have not done what he said he was going to do. Amen. He had to rise from the dead. That hinges, the gospel story hinges upon that. Amen. And so Paul declares it. Amen. He doesn't just say, well, maybe. No, Paul declares that Jesus rose from the dead. He calls it the gospel. Amen. He wants them to think about this great subject matter. All right. Look again. Verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you, and look at this phrase, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. He says, this is the message that I came to you preaching. Amen. I brought the gospel to you. That's how I came. And I've not changed it. This is the message that arrested your soul. Amen. This is the message that brought you to recognize your need of a Savior. This is the message that brought you to Christ. Amen. This is the message that brought conviction of sin. This is the message that produced faith and trust that you could believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior from your sin. Amen. This is the message that showed you deliverance in the gospel. Amen. And so he says, this is the message you've received, and this is the message that you trusted in. And he says, this is the message we must base our present hope and our eternal hope upon. Amen. This is the message, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 2, completes the sentence. He said, by which also ye are saved. And the emphasis on the word are. Presently, not will be. Amen. Not just hope to be, but you are saved. Amen. Right now, presently saved. Amen. If you believe, and that's the idea there, if you believe this gospel message, we are saved, not waiting to be saved, but saved right now. By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now, Paul does not pronounce this saved and secure well, that also applying the doctrine of perseverance. It's right there in the text. Perseverance. And by the way, here's what he says. He doesn't assume that all of them who have claimed to be standing on that doctrine are actually standing on that doctrine. Amen. He recognized there may be some there that might later, at a later date, turn away from their profession. Amen. Turn away from the faith. He says, unless ye have believed in vain. You see that phrase, verse number 2? Unless ye have believed in vain. That goes with what Joshua was teaching in Sunday school this morning about there being two different Jesus. He says, and it's true, the world's got a different Jesus than we have. Amen. Their Jesus will let you be a murderer and let you be a drunkard and let you be a whoremonger and let you be all that. He'll let you, their Jesus will let all that go on. And by the way, that's why they like him. Our Jesus is pure and holy and undefiled. Amen. Amen. Our Jesus is a deliverer. Thank God he is. Amen. But he says, unless you believed in vain. You see, there are those who have an empty faith. That's what that word vain means. That is an empty faith. Not resting on the Word of God. Not resting on the work of Christ. These people may be professors of salvation, but in reality they do not possess salvation. That's what Paul's talking about. Now this phrase, if you keep in memory, again, that is, it comes from one Greek word. That whole phrase comes from one Greek word. It's Strong's number 2722. And it means to hold down or to hold fast. That's what that Greek word means. This word is found in your King James Bible 19 times. It's translated to have. It's translated to hold. It's translated hold fast. It's translated keep. In this case, keep in memory. It's translated let, one that letteth, holds back that force of the enemy. It's translated make toward, possess, retain, seize on, stay, take, and withhold. Amen. Now, so when he says if you keep in memory, that doesn't mean that you maintain it mentally. It's not just talking about being able to mentally recall. Because you may not remember all the words you said. But surely you know the hope's not in what words you said. I mean, did you say abracadabra exactly right? Hocus pocus, maybe, can I focus? Did you say that exactly right? No. It's not what you said. Amen. You might not remember what you said. There may be things that you don't remember in that, but what he's talking about, he's speaking of a conscious trust that relies upon this fact and does not disregard that trust, does not cast away their hope in Christ. Amen. They're still leaning on Jesus. That's where their hope is. Amen. Now let me say this because I believe it's very important, and it is an important doctrine, by the way. But this doctrine is not the same as quote unquote holding out to the end and hoping to be saved. Amen. It's not the same as quote unquote enduring for salvation. Rather, this is talking about a salvation that endures for you. Amen. A salvation that endures for you. He said, if you've got the goods, you're going to stay focused on this. If you've got the goods, it's going to be there. But he said, if you turn away, it's obvious you didn't have the goods at all. Amen. And he states dogmatically that those who do not endure in this doctrine had an empty, vain faith. Amen. This doctrine is used throughout Paul's writing. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter number 11. And we'll just look at a couple of verses, well, a few verses there, more than a couple. Romans chapter number 11. Paul is dealing with the Gentiles being grafted into God's vine. Amen. The Gentiles being grafted into God's plan. And he states the doctrine this way in Romans 11, verse number 19. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Now he's talking to Gentile people, the branches being the Jews, broken off that I might be grafted in. All right, verse number 20. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If, look at this, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. Amen. Now, he's not saying that the Jews lost their salvation. They never had it. They had the opportunity. Amen. They had the opportunity. They heard the word, but not being mixed with faith, they didn't believe the word. Amen. They had the Bible that pointed to the Messiah coming, but when Messiah stood before them, they didn't recognize him. And even those that did recognize him denounced him and rejected him. They didn't want that kind of Messiah. Amen. Had a different idea. And by the way, that's the world we're living in. So Paul's saying, well, God broke them off and grafted you in a strange people. By the way, he's not talking, again, not talking about individuals. He's not talking about an individual losing their salvation. He's talking about a nation losing their candlestick, losing their opportunity, losing the light that they had of the gospel. Amen. Amen. And he's talking about that light shining to the Gentiles. That's the very phrase that he used, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Amen. And he said, don't get bold and boast in that. It's not your goodness that brought you that light. It is the goodness of God that brought you that light. And he said, rest in his goodness. That's where your rest is. Amen. And he said, if they'll turn from their unbelief, they can even be saved. Amen. Thank God they can. So he's not speaking of a loss of salvation. Rather, he's speaking of a true salvation that holds the believer fast in the faith. Now, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 or 15, and verse number 2. I'll go to that latter part. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 2, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, and that phrase, what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. That phrase, what I preached unto you. Paul is talking about this doctrine of the gospel. That's what he preached unto them. I came unto you preaching the gospel. Paul wasn't preaching himself, but he's preaching Christ and Him crucified. Matter of fact, Paul said, I'd rather not know anything. I'd rather know nothing. Nothing except Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Amen. Paul came preaching the gospel and he said, that's what I came to you with, and that's where your hope stands, and that's what you got to stay in. Amen. This story of the resurrection, we've heard it all of our lives. Most of us have. Most of us grew up hearing it. Amen. But if we're not careful, we'll get calloused with that. We'll think, you know, that doctrine, it's so common that it's not important. Oh, yes, it is important.
Amen.
Amen. It is important. And for those that haven't heard it, they need to hear it because it is an important doctrine. Amen. So he's talking about this doctrine of the gospel. He's not implying that they must remember his words, not just how he said it and what was said, but that they must hold fast to the doctrine of the gospel that he had delivered. Amen. He had delivered that gospel to them, and they were to hang on to that gospel. They were to keep that their focus on that gospel. They were to use that gospel as their foundation and never change the doctrine of the gospel. Because listen, when you change the gospel, you make the gospel of none effect. You make it an empty thing. You make the gospel vain when you change the gospel. Amen. This possibility of believing in vain or having an empty faith is one that produces no works and has no lifestyle change in accordance to the preaching of James. James and Paul didn't disagree on this. They agreed entirely. Amen. Matter of fact, if you're in 1 Corinthians 15, jump to verse number 14. He said, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. He's talking about vain faith. Empty. Amen. He said if there's no resurrection, then our preaching's empty. We don't have the power. We have no power to help people. If our gospel is changed, he said, then there's no power in your faith. There's no hope in your faith. Amen. It's as if the tomb's not empty, then your faith is empty. Amen. If the tomb's not empty, then your hope is empty. Amen. That's what he's saying. So he's preaching, he's stating the fact that preaching with no resurrection message is empty and useless. We're living in a day when there's a whole lot of preaching about the death of Christ. Not much said about the resurrection. Amen. He did die in our place and for us. But he also got up for us. Amen. Amen. So not believing in a risen Savior is empty and useless faith. So he told these believers to keep in memory what he preached. These next two verses tell us what he preached. Look at me with them. Verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I realize that doesn't end this sentence. This sentence goes on to talk about those that saw Him. But I want to deal primarily with this message of the gospel, and that's why I'm stopped off there. Paul tells us what it was that he preached. Paul preached what he believed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Paul preached what he believed. The same gospel that saved Paul was the gospel that Paul preached. Amen. He preached it the way it happened to him. Amen. Amen. He preached what had been revealed to him. That's what he said. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Paul didn't learn that in school. Amen. He learned that by experience. No doubt in my mind that Paul growing up, Paul living in the time he did, had heard that Jesus of Nazareth had been nailed on the cross. He knew that the believers, the Christians, believed that Jesus was the Savior of the world. Paul didn't believe that. I'm talking about Saul. Didn't believe that. But he had heard that Jesus died. He didn't have any doubt that Jesus died. I'm sure that he had no problem believing that the man that had claimed to be the King of the Jews, the man that had claimed to be the Son of God, had been put to death on Calvary's tree. Paul believed that, and by the way, the whole world believes that, and the whole world is going to hell just like Paul was going to hell with that same belief. It takes more than a belief in the death of Jesus. You got to also believe in the resurrection. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 11 that I read to you follows Romans chapter 10. And Romans chapter 10 says, if you believe in your heart. Amen.
Right.
And if you confess with your mouth, what do you believe? What do you confess? That Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's the doctrine that Paul preached. That's the doctrine that Paul believed. Amen. And he said, that's what I'm going to continue to preach. It was a gospel message not designed by men. Amen. But it's the facts that God had settled in the heart of the Apostle Paul. It was this fact that had convinced him and had saved him when that light shined from heaven and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, who art thou, Lord? And that voice said, I am Jesus of Nazareth,
amen,
whom thou persecutest. He knew that same Jesus that had died had got up from the grave. Because he was speaking to him on that day on the road to Damascus. Amen. I'm telling you, we've got to have it settled in our heart that we believe the doctrine of the resurrection. Amen. This was his foundational message. Wherever Paul went to start a church, he always started with the gospel. Because churches need saved folk. Amen. We don't just need people that like candy, or we don't just need people that like ball games, or like, you know, winning prizes and different things that, amen, the gimmicks and the gadgets and the gizmos that they have to try to get. That's not good enough. We need people that are saved by the grace of God. Amen. And whatever they come for. Listen, Brother Kuhn, did you say you went to church because of Mrs. Kuhn? Somebody was preaching to us the other day, okay? And I've heard a lot of men talk about, they didn't go to church in order, you know, to hear the gospel or to believe in it. No, they went because they're trying to impress a girl. Or they're trying to find a girlfriend. Whatever. Listen, but when they come, whatever they come for, we ought to preach the gospel to them. Amen. Make much of Jesus. Make much of the resurrection, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, It was a biblical message. Amen. Paul preached that everywhere he went. People might get saved. Churches might be established. Amen. I said it was a gospel not designed by men. I thought about it this morning. Then when Joshua read the text, I thought about it again. In Matthew's gospel, where it deals, chapter 27, 28, where it deals, 28 deals with the resurrection. And when it talks about these women went, before the sun got up, they went, and there was a great earthquake. Well, can I tell you, man didn't make that earthquake.
Right.
I know it's become income. We've got to save the planet, or it's going to fall apart. Now they're telling us, but man didn't make that earthquake. God made the earthquake. And there was an angel came from heaven. The Bible said his countenance like lightning, his raiment even like lightning. And he sat on the stone. Amen. It was not a man that made the earthquake, and it was not a man that rolled the stone away, and it was not a man that sent that heavenly messenger there that day. All that was the work of God. I'm telling you, the whole gospel story relies on the power of God. That's what it relies on. Not something that a man can do. Amen. Beyond what a man can do. Well, Paul's message was a biblical message. He did not offer an emotional salvation. He did not offer a social salvation. Amen. He didn't offer a psychological salvation. He offered a biblical, scriptural salvation. Amen. The Bible had declared that Christ would die for the sins of mankind. It was in the Bible. Can I say this? Sin is the issue between God and man. That's one phrase you ought to repeat yourself many times. Sin is the issue between God and man. Sin must be dealt with, or else people cannot go to heaven because there will be no sin there. Amen. Sin must be dealt with. Therefore, it was essential that Christ would become our substitute because we're not sinless. Christ would become our substitute, and He would become our sacrifice for sin. So he said here, he said that he died, in verse number 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Just like the Bible said he would, that's what he said. Just like the Bible said he would, Christ came and offered himself to die for our sins. Turn to Acts chapter number 26. Paul's talking to, I don't remember now, Felix or Festus. I always get those two confused. But in Acts chapter number 26, I think it's Festus. Let me get over there and I'll find it. Verse 22. Yeah, it is Festus. Verse number 22, Paul is declaring what he has been preaching to Festus. He said, having therefore obtained the help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. He said, that's what I'm preaching, what the Bible said would be, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. The people are the Jewish people. The Gentiles are the heathens in the world. Amen. And so he said, I'm just preaching what the Bible had said always before. Paul said, I'm preaching a biblical salvation that relies on the fact that just like the Bible said, Jesus came and died for our sins. Secondly, in verse number 4 of our text, 1 Corinthians 15, and that he was buried, not just that he died, but that he was buried. By the way, the burial was proof of his death. He didn't just swoon, pass out, go comatose. Amen. He was dead and he was buried. He died, verse number 4, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Amen. Wonderful news that a Savior has died for our sins. But even better news, that Savior is alive and well today. Amen. He took our sins away, and to them that look for Him, He will appear the second time without sin. Amen. Thank God He's coming back to get us one of these days. Amen. Because He is alive and well. Paul said, I preach that He died according to the Scriptures, and I preach that He is buried, and I preach that He rose again according to the Scriptures. Now, you know the Bible, the Old Testament even said that He'd be buried. In Isaiah 53, He says He'll make His grave with the wicked. Amen. He'll make His grave with the wicked. So it's talking about He died. But it also dealt with the fact that apparently He lives because God's going to see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. Amen. And so we see it was prophesied according to the Scriptures that He would die. It was prophesied that He would rise again. And I'll say this, and I'll get ready to conclude, that without the resurrection, the crucifixion would have had no efficacy. Would have had no power. Would have had no ability. Amen. If not for the resurrection. Amen. Now, so let me conclude with this thought. I told you I'd give you 3 points and I'm not going to elaborate on them. I'm just going to throw them out. But I want to simply conclude that both saints and sinners need to have the gospel message preached to them. And that gospel message consists of the death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. They need to have that declared. Saints need it in order to give them something to stand upon. Amen. Sinners need it in order to be saved. Amen. The Old Testament declared that Christ would die and rise again. Psalm 16:10, David said this, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Well, David did see corruption, so he wasn't talking about himself. He's talking about the Holy One. Amen. The Holy One's not going to be left in the grave. Amen. If Jesus didn't rise up from the dead, then He didn't fulfill the Scriptures. Amen. Jesus Himself declared that He would rise again. In Matthew 12:14, Jesus said, "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Amen. If Jesus didn't get up out of the grave, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then He was not who He claimed to be. Amen. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then He did not do what He said He was going to do. Amen. Preachers have declared that Christ died and rose again on the third day. It's been declared down through the centuries. Amen. Preachers have preached it. Sinners have believed it. Paul said, that's what you believed at the beginning. Amen. He said, you're not going to throw that faith away, are you? You're not going to be deceived into something different, are you? He said, you better hang on to that faith. Amen. We've all heard the gospel for years. Let me ask you this. But have you believed it? Here's what the writer of Hebrews, I think it was Paul, but the writer of Hebrews said, chapter 2, verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Amen. Again, that's not talking about losing salvation, but it's talking about never actually getting hold of Christ. Amen. So have you believed the gospel message unto salvation? Are you resting on this gospel message that brings salvation? And are you giving out that message that brings salvation? Three things about this gospel message. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to Scripture. Number one, is a simple message. It's a simple message. It's not confusing. It's not complicated. Amen. Number two, it's a stable message. It's not changing. It's constant. He that liveth, ever liveth to make intercession for us. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
It's a constant message, a stable message. And number three, it's a saving message. It's a saving message. Not continuing in the state that you were in, but converted. Because this message changes the lives of folk. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. You've heard the gospel message. And even on this Resurrection Sunday morning, we're reminded of this gospel message. Is that your hope? Is that your trust? Have you put your confidence solely, entirely, completely, implicitly, explicitly in the Lord Jesus Christ, entirely in Him? Have you done that? Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the truth. Though it's a commonly known, oft-preached, yet deserves to be preached again. Message of the gospel. Thank You, Lord, for it. Thank You for saving me. Thank You, Lord, for saving Paul on that road to Damascus. Thank You for every soul You saved with that gospel message. I pray, dear God, You'd save some more. I pray You'd work, even this morning, in the heart of sinners and bring them to Christ. Whether it's over the radio, whether it's right here in this auditorium, I pray, dear God, You'd draw them to Your side that they would be saved. Help the saint, dear God, not to get confused, sidetracked, or even to get to a point they think maybe we need to change the gospel. Lord, help us to stay true to Your Word. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, and as we sing, if you need to come, would you obey the Lord while we sing?